Good morning. Today we have sort of a special setup for chapel service, and that is, as we've been doing earlier in this week, we're going to engage the story of the Passion. And so I invite you during this time to listen to the story. There will be times as I am reading or as Grace is reading that slides will come up with responses or parts for you to read, and those will be highlighted in yellow. And I invite you to read those aloud together. At the end of the service, we also invite you to practice a quiet dismissal, a time to reflect and think about the reading today. Hear the word of the Lord from Mark 15. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas to them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews." They struck his head with a reed. They spat upon him and knelt down in homage to him. And after mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. Crucify him. Those words for me always echo in my head. And I think this is because for years, for as long and as far back as I can remember, my family and I always went to church during this Easter season. And I'll admit that when I was little and younger, I probably wasn't really thinking about the story of the Passion. I was probably more focused on the Easter candy I would be eating on Sunday morning, or sneaking away with my brothers to put a marshmallow peep in the microwave and watch it explode. And if you do that later, you didn't get the idea from me, okay? Okay, but really though, all jokes aside, those words echo for me because as a congregation, for as far as I can remember, we read them aloud. And when we would get to those two words in red text in our books, "Crucify him," it felt like it was my voice shouting out among the crowd, and I could hear mine so loudly. And I could hear my mom's and my dad's and my brother's calling out from the crowd. And it felt like those words, "Crucify him," were sending him to the cross, were demanding that he be sent to the cross. And the thing about that that just blows me away is that some of those people in this story who yelled out, "Crucify him," from the crowd were some of the same people who were waving palms and yelling, "Hosanna," just a few days before when Jesus walked into Jerusalem. They were waiting for a redeemer and for a savior for their people, but now they were yelling, "Crucify him." The reality of Christ's death on the cross is that our sin and our brokenness and our separation from God because we are human demands it, the same way that our voices kind of demand it. The other reality, though, is that we believe in a God, the Son of God, who has all the power in the world to say no to that, to make sure that that doesn't happen and that he didn't die on a cross. He has the power to step away from that. But the cool thing is that God goes to the cross because he loves us that much. God chose to sacrifice himself in place of this brokenness, to redeem this separation from God. And that is in part the good news of the gospel. The other part is Easter Sunday, which right now in this journey where we are, we wait in longing for Easter. Easter is when Jesus defeats even death itself. And it's the pinnacle of Christian celebration because it shows that we worship a God who conquers even death. And we long and wait for that. But right now, we sit in the reality of a journey where our voices yell out, "Crucify him." We remember voices yelling that hold him there. But mostly, we remember that God loves us so much that he went to the cross. And as we cling to this love of God and we cling to this hope of Easter, we remember that we serve a God who loves us, who loves the people who know not what they do, which is what Christ says later, who loves a kind of people who flog him and mock him and weave a crown of thorns to place on his head. He goes for us and for those people. And he goes to a cross where no matter how loud the voices, our voices, are yelling, "Crucify him," he has victory and he wins over death. And this is the good news of the gospel and what we rest with today.
Listen with me to the next part of the story from the book of Luke. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two.
Then Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Go in silent reflection and go in peace.